My name is Heather Schmidt, and first and foremost, I am a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to my story. 2004 was supposed to be the greatest year of my life. I was a graduate student at Texas A&M and engaged to my college sweetheart, Jonathan. We were going to have a beautiful spring wedding, and I would graduate soon after. We planned to move to San Antonio, where Jonathan was already working as a firefighter. Little did I know, life would change quickly, and I would lose my mom to cancer that year and later experience infertility. I was raised in a Christian home and accepted Christ at age 10, but our home life fell apart soon after when my parents divorced when I was 12. I spent my teenage years balancing total rebellion with my people-pleasing tendencies and utter fear of my parents' disappointment, especially my mother's. I somehow managed to do well in school despite my often chaotic home life, moving back and forth between my parents, etc. I definitely grew away from the church and the values my parents had worked to instill in me before they split. By the time I left for college, I was hanging on to my faith in God by a thread and certainly knew absolutely nothing about what it really meant to follow Christ. Through my college years, my mother and I restored our relationship. She was still single, although my dad had remarried, and we made a fabulous duo as I was entering adulthood and becoming a woman and less of a selfish, confused teenager. We had the perfect mix of being best friends and also driving each other completely crazy. So when she called me one night in the spring of 2003 to tell me she had melanoma, a deadly form of skin cancer, I was terrified and devastated. That began an 18-month-long journey, and although she lived here in Dallas, my mom received treatment at MD Anderson in Houston, since they were supposed to be the best for her type of cancer. I worked my hardest to balance caring for her and finishing my research and degree at A&M and College Station. I commuted back and forth from College Station to Houston constantly to be with her for every appointment and treatment. My grandparents were always present too, but the role of caretaker naturally fell on my shoulders. I understood the medical stuff, I took notes, I researched treatments, I asked questions, I kept track of medications, did her dressing changes, and cleaned her up in the way she cared for me when I was a child. After a very brief period of remission, we were told that mom's cancer had spread everywhere. Long weeks of chemo, radiation, and experimental treatments began. My husband Jonathan and I moved up our wedding date from May to January 2004. I wanted to guarantee with as much certainty as I could that my mom was present for our day and things weren't looking good. To make matters worse, my brother, who was serving in the military at the time, had just gotten word that he was being deployed to Afghanistan. My small but fragile family was getting ripped apart. We quickly planned a January wedding and had a beautiful ceremony. But in the limousine on the way to the airport after our reception, on the way to our honeymoon, I cried inconsolably. My mom was really sick and my brother was going to a war zone. It was really hard to be joyful. Months and many treatments and heartbreaking doctor's appointments ensued. I finished my degree. I wrote half of my thesis from a hospital room, but my gracious advisor and graduate committee were sensitive to my situation. I graduated in August 2004 with my mom cheering me on from a wheelchair in the stands, her face swollen from the medications she was on and a wig on her hairless head. I immediately went back to Dallas after graduation to care for mom, who had just been told there was nothing else the doctors could do to help her. With my husband working in San Antonio, my mom and I moved in with my grandparents, and we started hospice. My Mimi cooked, and I cared for mom. During this time, I felt completely out of control. I cried out to God in the truest sense for the first time in a long time. I prayed constantly, not to take it all away, but just to survive the horrific things I was constantly witnessing and the unthinkable tasks I was doing, like calling the Red Cross to get my brother home from the middle of nowhere in the Middle East so he could see mom while she was still conscious, writing mom's obituary with her, cleaning out her closet with her, and watching the woman who gave me life suffer beyond words and lose the ability to communicate. My mom took her last breath on October 15th, 2004, as I held her hand and read her scripture in the front bedroom of my grandparents' house. I felt traumatized, but I also had an absolutely life-changing epiphany about life and death. I had witnessed death of a loved one. I was so convicted by God's plan for us in the big picture, and I felt peace. But then, as it always does, the pain came washing over me. What on earth had I just experienced? The frantic pace and juggling of so many priorities was over. My mom was gone, I graduated, I was married, but my life was in shambles, and I was lost. My husband and I decided to leave San Antonio and move into my mom's house that my brother and I had just inherited. Yeah, you know the whole thing about not making major decisions while grieving. Well, I didn't follow that rule, and instead I became increasingly impulsive. I drank in excess, I worked in excess, I clung tight on people and things that were not positive influences on me. I fumbled through a first year of marriage and put up a front so convincing that just about everyone couldn't believe I was handling it so well. I soon decided that my biological clock had started ticking and it was time to start a family. I now recognize this as my desperate attempt to fill the void in my heart from losing my mom. Luckily, my husband agreed to start trying and we were off and running. But months passed and nothing happened. Everyone around me was getting pregnant easily, even when they didn't want to, and I got very angry. I hesitated to tell anyone at all that we were even trying to be pregnant. After all, I'd stuffed my hurts for so long, why would I start letting people in now? I finally did get pregnant for the first time in late 2005, but I knew something wasn't right all along, and it turns out I was having an ectopic pregnancy. After weeks of blood work and shots, I ended up having surgery. I was numb, bitter, and losing hope. My life turned into a battery of blood work, high-risk OBGYN visits, waiting for ovulation, a bleeding disorder diagnosis, scouring the internet for stories that beat the odds, waiting to take yet another pregnancy test, and praying for a healthy pregnancy. I miscarried two more times. I remember coming home from the doctor's office after being told I was miscarrying, and I had to literally sit and wait for it to happen, and it just seemed cruel. I wanted control back over my life. I had already had so many dreams shattered. My family was broken, mom was dead, and all I wanted was a family of my own to make it right. I prayed for a healthy pregnancy, but, the big but, I never did truly, fully let go of my life and hand it over to God. I would pretend like I was submitting to His will, but truth be told, I was still holding on tight to any bit of control I had. I'm not saying that God was punishing me by having me experience infertility at all. But I do think in retrospect that He was doing some serious work on my heart during this time, and I wasn't ready for the selfish act of parenthood, or selfless act of parenthood. Immediately after having a miscarriage in early 2007, I became pregnant with our son, Aiden. I will never forget hearing that my hormone levels were perfect for the first time. I knew we were going to keep this baby. Every time I went to the restroom and didn't see blood, I literally praised God. Aiden was born September 27th, 2007. For me, the birth of our first child completely transformed my heart. I grew quickly and deeply into an intimate relationship with God. I suddenly understood fully how much my own mother had cared for me, and this was so comforting to me. By the time Aiden was born, I had learned to live with myself. I wasn't so desperate to fill that void. I did still feel the grief, and it still hit me at unexpected times and could literally take my breath away, but it no longer consumed me. Most of all, when Aiden was born, I realized, as childlike as it sounds, just how much God loves us. If I can love Aiden like this, then how much more is our God capable of? Soon after Aiden was born, I joined the Square One class for new moms at Watermark. I met some incredible women there that are still a huge part of my life. My husband and I joined this church. We went through the trials of new parenthood, financial mistakes, relearning how to communicate, you name it. We signed up for Reengage here at Watermark in 2008. And spent a good 6 to 7 months learning all the things we should have learned before we ever said I do. And now when the hard times hit, we had support, and most importantly, we had God at the center of our lives. In the 7 years since mom died, my life has undergone a huge transformation. I didn't have one light bulb moment that did it. It's been a process. I've had many, many light bulb moments and will continue to do so for the rest of my life. The bottom line is this: I let the wall come down. I let Jesus into my life. I gave Him my burdens, my hurts, my grief. And most of all, the most amazing, incredible truth of all of it is that through accepting Christ as my Savior, I am forgiven. All of the poor choices I've made, they are forgiven. As Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5 reads, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. He loves me, and no matter what comes next, He is steadfast." It's so funny that I thought I needed to keep that tight grip of control on my life and my grief for so long, when letting it go was the most freeing thing of all and allowed me to experience true happiness. I believe with every fiber of my being that the passing of my mother at just 52 years old and experiencing infertility allowed me to grow into a life-changing relationship with Christ. It took hitting the bottom for me to let down my guard I had built up my entire life. By letting God in, a domino effect of healing and growth took place, first with my grief, then my marriage, and then my relationships with other family and friends. I want to encourage each of you that you're in the right place by being here. I struggled for a long time in isolating myself, but at the same time, I was desperate to find other people who had experienced similar pain. I went through feelings of guilt for so many things, like sometimes feeling relief for not having to be a caregiver for my mom anymore. And I had no one that I felt could understand that those feelings were normal. 7 years later, I can say that I'm okay. I don't feel like I'm on the verge of insanity. I'm not crippled with anxiety. I still mourn the loss of things not experienced, a grandmother for my kids and children that never got a chance to be born. But I take such comfort in knowing that James 1, verses 2 and 3 is the truth. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. I will persevere, but I didn't make it through this alone. It took Christ working in my heart and picking me up when I was down. Thank you for listening.